and the great King above all gods. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Praise God. Won't you stand up with me this morning? Lord, we come before You this morning with thanksgiving. We come before You with singing. We come to lift our voice. We come to praise You, Lord, for You are worthy. You are mighty. You are the great God of all the earth. Lord, there's nobody like You. You alone, Lord, deserve all the praise. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor. We thank You for Jesus today. We are thankful for Jesus today. And Lord, we lift You up in this place. We lift our voice. We clap our hands. We lift and raise our hands in praise to our mighty God. And we thank You, Lord, that You inhabit our praise today. We thank You, Lord, that Your presence fills this place as we worship You. That You inhabit the praise of Your people in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say, I came to praise the Lord today. Give Him a big hand of praise and a shout this morning. Hallelujah. Stay yourself up. Bless the Lord of my soul. And all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Amen. Come on. You gotta stir yourself up. I'm gonna worship. I'm gonna praise.
Oh,
presence in this place this morning. And Lord, we worship you from our hearts this morning. We bless you.
Still my
Thank you.
exalted above every other name. Lord, there's no other name that has been given by which we can be saved. You are highly exalted. Jesus, there's none like you. There's none like you. We worship you today. We honor you today. We bless your holy name. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you. And you said that you would answer us. You said that when we call upon you, that you would do great and mighty things. I want to pray right now for anyone who needs prayer. I prayed for someone before the service who had lost their job after 29 years at that company. And I prayed, I said, you know what that means? It means God's got a better job for you. And so we prayed and believed God for a better job. Whatever it is that you need this morning, I want you to know that there's nothing that is too difficult for the Lord.
Amen.
We have seen the Lord do miracles. We've seen people be healed. We've seen miraculous healings.
Amen.
We've seen impossible situations turn around. Whatever it is that you're facing, I want you to know you're in the right place. And we want to pray for you. We want to pray. We want to believe God. The Bible says if any two on earth, if any two people on earth will agree together in prayer, for whatever they ask, it says that they will receive, the Father will do whatever it is they ask when two people agree. There's power in a prayer agreement. When two believers stand together and call upon the Lord and pray, there's power in that. And so we want to pray with you this morning, and if you need prayer, please don't be shy. If you have a situation and you need the Lord's help, I want you to step out into the aisle. Just step out into the aisle, and I want to ask members and leaders of our church to go with those people and stand around them and pray with them. Let's pray with God. Listen, you don't have to try and solve that problem by yourself. We have a God who wants to help us. He wants to meet every need.
Amen.
You just got to look to Him, call upon Him.
Amen.
So if you need prayer, don't be shy. Step out into the aisle. And we're going to pray. And we're going to believe God. Churches gather around them. Put your hand and pray for them. Ask them, what can I pray for you about? And then just pray and believe God. Thank you, Lord. Is it for healing, man? Is it for healing? Let's believe God. Let's pray. Father, we release your healing anointing right now to flow through the knees. In the name of Jesus, we command this pain to go. We command his shoulder to be healed. In the name of Jesus, we release your healing power, Lord. And we give you all praise. Thank you for restoring Denise's health. Thank you for healing her. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we agree. We praise you. We praise you this morning. Praise God. Anyone else who needs prayer? Listen, anybody? Mark, what are we praying for you about? Lord, I just thank you for Mark. I thank you, Lord, for your favor that is upon him and his family and Amina, his wife. Thank you, Lord, that they are givers and they are tithers, and you promised that you'd open the windows of heaven and you pour blessing on them. So, Lord, I ask you to meet every need. I ask you to bring increase. I ask you to bless his business. I ask you to bring clients. I ask you to give him wisdom, godly wisdom and insight and revelation and understanding. Thank you, Lord, that whatever he puts his hand to, you cause it to prosper. Thank you that his blessing coming in and his blessing going out. Thank you, Father, for blessings that are following after him, chasing after him. In Jesus' mighty name, I declare his business is blessed, thriving, prospering. We give him all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. it this morning, darling. Glad to see it. Praise God. I'm going to ask you folks, these folks sitting up to the side, why don't you come and fill these chairs up? We've got a lot of empty chairs right in the middle. You don't have to sit at the edge of anyone. But Isabel, all these folks on this side, please will you come and fill up the chairs? We've got empty chairs here. It's not necessary for you to sit behind a pillar that you can't see me, but I'm talking to an empty chair. The folks on the left-hand side, Tracy, right? Once can I ask you to come and fill in the center section? We've got a lot of folks not here this weekend. I don't know what's going on. Maybe they get wet. When they get wet, they fade away. I don't know. Wendy, come see this up. Right over here. Right on the front. Good Dana. Come on, Dana. Don't be shy. That's better. Here we go. Yeah, I know we have some folks away this weekend. I know the car parks in Washington and Miguel and Natalie are in Key West, and Leo and Carol this morning are wedding in Boston, and there's a lot of folks not here. But you are here, I'm here, Jesus is here, the Holy Ghost is here, and we're going to have a great time this morning. Aren't we? Praise God. You want to welcome if we have any new folks here this morning, Jill?
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
How are you doing today?
Great.
Good. Anybody watch that beautiful royal wedding yesterday?
Oh, yes.
Come on, all the ladies. I was with my grandson, Brady, and he's like, what are you watching? I said, it's the prince. It's the castles. It's the... Just kept watching. It was beautiful. So, but I'm glad you're in church this morning. Good to see you. And I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We do love having visitors here, don't we?
Yes.
So we just want to welcome you. What we like to do is, we don't embarrass you, but we'd like to just give you a gift bag right where you're sitting, a welcome pack. So if you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand? Our ushers will hand it to you. God bless you. Is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We hope it'll be an encouragement to you. There's also a white card. If you just take a moment and fill that out at the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by and just drop it in. And Pastor would love to give you a call and find out how you enjoy the service. Amen. Welcome to those watching on Facebook, watching online. We're glad you've joined us today. It's a good day to serve the Lord. Amen. Rain and all. Here's the next thing. God's green, right?
Yes. Well, starting from today, we have 6 weeks before we move into our new building. We are trusting for the first Sunday of July. That's what we're believing for. Please be believing with us, praying with us. 1st of July, that's when I'm believing God. We're going to be in it. Now, we had a little delay. I told you about 2 weeks ago, and the city said to us that we were going to have to put in fire sprinklers, and that was going to cost $52,000. And so we met with the city, with our architect and general contractor, and managed to come up with another plan that they accepted, which is we're going to put a 2-hour firewall, which is basically double drywalling. It's a firewall between the sanctuary and the lobby, and they said that would be acceptable instead of having fire sprinklers.
Right.
We saved us a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so that meant that our architect had to go and change our plans, had to make some changes in the plans, then get them back to the city, and that whole process took 2 weeks. So we finally got the plans back, put them into the city on Friday. We took them to the city. So please be praying that will happen fast, because the city have to review the plans. Then they come. We're waiting for the city to come and inspect. And once they're done in their inspection, boom, then we can start drywalling. So I'm really hoping that we'll be able to start doing the drywall this week.
Yeah.
And once we get the drywall up, then things are going to go really fast. Because once the drywalling is up, then we put the ceiling grids in, lights start going in. I mean, then things are really going to move along fast. So this week, I believe, once we get that inspection and we can continue the work, we're going to be moving really quickly. And I'm trusting God, in 6 weeks, we'll be in our new building. Amen. We will be, as you know, we will be launching Ascend Church. This is really the last May and June is while we're meeting in the hotel as Christian Family Church Jupiter. But when we launch, when we move in the new building, we're going to launch Ascend Church. We still are affiliated with Christian Family Church. Pastor Theo and Pastor Beck are still my pastors. But this is something the Lord led us into doing. And I believe God has got great things ahead for Ascend Church. I have excitement in my heart when we get in that building. I believe we're going to see great things happen. How about you?
Yeah.
One of the things I've been doing, we're going to be starting a Spanish service. A very soon. We'll be doing Spanish. All the music will be Spanish. I will be preaching in Spanish. I learned Spanish in the last month, if you didn't know that. I went to night school for the last month, and I'm now no, that is not true. I will use the translator. We have a number of people who speak Spanish fluently, but it's going to be a full Spanish service. The Lord put in our heart that I should do that.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Anyone ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is what brings us life, wisdom, faith, direction. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, as I stand today before your people, I make it known that I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting in you to anoint me, to enable me, to speak through me today. And Lord, I give you all the praise for everything said and done. I thank you for bringing revelation. I thank you for causing faith to rise in our heart. Thank you for transforming us by your word today. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. And today I want to speak about uncommon. Uncommon. Because God called you and chose you to be uncommon. Do you know that? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Now the word uncommon, let me tell you what it means. I looked it up. The word uncommon means out of the ordinary. Unusual. Extraordinary. Or some people say extraordinary. Outstanding. To stand out. God chose you to stand out. To be abnormal. To be rare. This is what the word uncommon means. Unconventional. Strange. Some people might think you're a little strange. Odd. Peculiar. Weird. Exceptional. Special. Superior. Unique. Now, in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, he gave himself for us to set us free from every sin, to cleanse us so that we can be his special people. His uncommon people. His outstanding people. His exceptional people. God has called you to be uncommon. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse number 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation. So I've been chosen. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. We saw the royal wedding yesterday with all the royalty and the pomp and the ceremony and the you know, the duchess and the dukes and the, is it the dukes and the duchess and the lords and the ladies? Let me tell you, you are royalty.
Amen.
The Bible says you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are his own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the King James translation says you are his peculiar people. God has chosen and called you to be special. To be out of the ordinary. To be unusual. To be extraordinary. Abnormal. To be rare. To stand out. You know, it's easy to fit in and do what everybody else is doing. Our neighbors complain, so we complain. Our co-workers show up late, so we show up late. Our relatives have addictions, so we have addictions. It's normal, it's common. But God didn't create you to be common. God didn't save you so that you can do what everybody else does. You were created to be uncommon, to live by a higher standard, to do what others are not willing to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
To believe for things that others think are too big.
Amen.
God created you to stand out of the crowd, to be a cut above.
Yes.
You know, maybe everybody at work is complaining. That's common, but that's not you. You're uncommon. Instead of joining in, you find something to be grateful for.
Yes.
You don't focus on what's wrong. You thank God for what is right. Why? Because you're uncommon. That's why.
Yeah.
People around you, maybe they've got a small vision. They think they've reached their limits. And they've settled where they are. They're just going through the motions of life. That's common. But that's not you. You're passionate about your future.
Yeah.
You're believing for big things.
Amen.
You're expecting new levels.
Amen.
You know that the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. That's what the scripture says.
Yeah.
Or maybe everybody around you is compromising. They're not faithful in relationships. They're dishonest in business. They'll do anything to get ahead.
Yeah.
That's common. But that's not you. You're a person of excellence. You do the right thing when nobody's looking. You keep your word, even when it costs you something.
Amen.
Other people don't understand. I mean, you could have compromised to get ahead. Nobody would have known about it. But you live by a higher standard. Why is it? Because you're uncommon. Say, I'm uncommon. I'm unusual. I'm exceptional. I stand out. See, that's the kind of, let me tell you, God rewards uncommon people. Complainers are a dime a dozen. Compromisers all around. Naysayers, oh, I could never do that. You see them every day. It's common, family, but God is looking for uncommon people. People that don't just go with the majority. People that don't lower their standards. God is looking for people that go against the grain. They swim upstream like a salmon. People that have uncommon faith. They believe when it seems impossible. People have uncommon commitment. They'll do the right thing, even when it's hard. People that have an uncommon attitude. When everyone else is negative, bitter, moody, you've got a smile. You're kind. You're good-natured. And let me tell you, when you make this decision that you're not going to fit in, that you're not going to, you know, be like everybody else, but you're going to be uncommon, then you will see uncommon favor. You will see uncommon opportunities. You will see uncommon breakthroughs. You'll see uncommon victories.
Amen.
You see, we're living in a day when standards are being lowered, when it's acceptable to compromise, not to have integrity, to take the easy way out. In fact, if we're not careful, we'll adapt to our environment. We'll become just like everybody else. But let me tell you, there's nothing special about being common. There's nothing significant about being ordinary. God wants you to stand out. When people look at us, they should say there's something different about them. They're a cut above. They're excellent. They're trustworthy. They're committed. They're loyal. They're so happy. What they're really saying is they're uncommon. And you know, the scripture says in Romans 12 and verse 2, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within.
Amen.
Don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. In fact, if you read that, it says that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meet all His demands, and move toward the goal of true maturity. If you read it from the New King James translation, the same scripture, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you know, as you sit here this morning, hearing me tell you the Word of God, your mind is being transformed? Don't be conformed, be transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And one more translation, the Passion Bible. The Passion translation says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Stop imitating the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Amen.
Amen.
This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Now, there is a constant pressure trying to squeeze us into being common. You know, people at work, they may slack off, waste time, goof around, do a half-hearted job. Don't be squeezed into that mold.
Amen.
Don't let that thinking rub off on you. If they want to be mediocre and they want to be common, then that's their choice. But that's not who you are. God called you to be uncommon. Amen. Say, I'm uncommon.
Amen.
See, God called you to stand out in the crowd. God called you to do the right thing even when the boss is not around. Don't sink down to their level, but set a new standard. The scripture says in Ephesians 6, verse 6, don't work hard only when your master is watching, and then shirk when he's not looking. Work hard and with gladness all the time, as though working for Christ, doing the will of God with all of your heart. Remember, the Lord will pay you for each good thing you do, whether you are a slave or whether you are free. God will pay you back. You're working unto the Lord. The Passion Bible says, always do what is right, and not only when others are watching, so that you may please Christ as His servants by doing His will. Serve your employers wholeheartedly and with love, as though you were serving Christ and not men. Be assured that anything you do that is beautiful and excellent will be repaid by our Lord, whether you are an employee or whether you are an employer. The truth of the matter is, let me break some news for you, we all work for God. Whether you're the boss or whether you are the janitor, we all work for God.
Yes.
Ultimately. People around you may be giving in to temptation, doing things that are not right. Thoughts will tell you, it's okay, it's not hurting anyone. You know, you only live once. That's the enemy trying to deceive you into being common. Because he knows if you're like everyone else, if there's nothing different about you, then you will not become all that God created you to be. So I encourage you, don't fall into that trap. Be uncommon. Be different. Live by a higher standard. Well, Pastor Steve, you know, everyone's doing it. Everyone's partying. Everyone's slacking off. Everyone is negative. But here's the key. You're not everyone. You're the exception. You're uncommon. You're outstanding. The scripture says in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, you are God's chosen treasure. You are a spiritual nation. You are set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience His marvelous light. Now He claims you as His very own. He did this so that you would broadcast His glorious wonders throughout the world. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this. It says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. See, when someone says, Apostles think everyone's doing it. But the scripture says, come out and be separate. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3 declares, God's will is for you to be set apart for Him in holiness so that you will keep yourselves unpolluted from sexual defilement. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, there was a time when some of you were just that way, but now your sins are washed away and you are set apart for God. I used to be like that, but now I have been set apart and chosen by God to live an uncommon kind of life. And so have you. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:21 says, whoever separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences will then be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the Master, fit and ready for every good work. The Bible says if you will separate yourself, you will be used by God. Honorably, you will be ready for every work that God has for you. Titus 2 verse 7 says, above all, set yourself apart as a model of a life nobly lived with dignity. Demonstrate integrity in all that you teach. Set yourself apart, the Bible says. And finally, Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, He chose us. He actually picked us out for Himself as His own. You ever thought about, you know, a little kid go to the puppy store and pick out the puppy? Mama, I want that one. I made that mistake. Oh, I'm talking Brady's language now. But when Courtney was about 7 or 8, boy, she convinced me it was a storm coming through. And I don't know how she convinced me to go to the puppy store. And she saw this little puppy. And the lady said, well, there's a storm. I'm putting all the puppies in storage, and I'll give you a half price. And you know, I bought the puppy. And I say, but let me tell you, the Bible says God picked you out for himself. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be what? Set apart for him.
Amen.
God picked you out that you would be set apart for him and blameless in his light, even above reproach before him in love. Say, I have been chosen. Say, God picked me out to be uncommon. You see, these scriptures, all what these scriptures are telling us when it talks about being set apart, that they're saying you're not common. You're not like everyone else. You've been handpicked by the Most High God. He not only chose you, but he has set you apart. He has made you uncommon.
Amen.
You see, could it be the reason you're not seeing favor is because you've been common? The reason you're not going to the next level is you've let this world squeeze you into its mold. Now, there's nothing different about you. You're like everybody else. But it's time to break out of that mold. That is not who you are. You might be surrounded by people who are lazy or indifferent, not going anywhere. Don't be squeezed into that mold. Don't let that keep you from your destiny. Realize you've been set apart. You're not common. Do your part and don't live in a common way.
Amen.
Amen. Now listen, this is what Daniel did in the scripture. Daniel was a Hebrew teenager. He was brought out of Judah. He was taken captive when the Babylonians conquered Israel. And they took Daniel and many other young men and they brought him to Babylon to be trained to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. The Babylonians had all of these customs that did not agree with the Jewish faith. They worshipped many different kinds of gods and they wanted Daniel to fit in. They wanted Daniel to worship their gods. And the first thing they did was they changed his name from Daniel. And the name Daniel means God is my judge. They changed his name to Belteshazzar, which means worshiper of Baal. They wanted him to forget about the God of Israel and start worshiping their God. And Daniel could have accepted it. I mean, he could have thought, well, you know, everybody's doing it. I'm in their nation. I'm surrounded by people who worship idols. I'll just fit in. I'll just go with the flow. But Daniel had a different spirit. He understood this principle. He didn't let them squeeze him into their mold. He knew he had been set apart. He wasn't supposed to be common. And they put all this pressure on Daniel to change. But the scripture says this in Daniel 1 verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What Daniel was saying in effect, everybody around me might be compromising. They may be taking the easy way out, but I am not going to lower my standards. I am not going to fit in and become common. I'm going to live by a higher standard he purposed in his heart. You see, the Bible says when the person in charge saw how determined Daniel was, he said, okay, I'll give you 10 days to eat your own food. And then after 10 days, we'll see how you're doing. And after the 10 days, Daniel came out stronger and healthier than all the other young men that have been eating the king's food.
Amen.
You see, when you refuse to compromise and you refuse to be squeezed into this world's mold, God will show you favor and he'll cause you to stand out above the rest.
Amen.
That's exactly what happened with Daniel. Right. The very next verse, verse 9, says this. Now God brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of eunuch. God caused Daniel to have favor. You see, listen, being common doesn't get God's attention. Being like everyone else, not being different. But when you dig your heels in and you say like Daniel, I'm not going to be pressured into compromising. I am not going to live like everybody else, complaining, gossiping, giving up on their dreams. I am going to be uncommon. I am going to go against the grain. I am going to take the high road. I am going to be a person of excellence. I am going to live my life set apart for God's plan and God's purpose. Let me tell you, when you make this choice to be uncommon like Daniel, you'll see uncommon favor.
Amen.
God will make things happen you could never make happen on your own. But how many of you know, it takes courage to be different.
Yes.
It takes courage not to compromise. People will try to make you feel weak because you're not going with the majority. Because you don't party with everyone. You don't gossip. You don't play politics. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, it says the night is far gone. The day of his return will soon be here. So quit the evil deeds of darkness and put on the armor of right living as we who live in the daylight should. Be decent and true in everything you do so that all can approve your behavior. Don't spend your time in wild parties and getting drunk or in adultery and lust or fighting or jealousy. Listen, the truth is that when you refuse to compromise, you're not weak, you're strong. It doesn't take much effort to do what everybody else is doing. How many of you know that any dead fish can swim downstream? It takes a large, strong one to swim upstream.
Amen.
In other words, it's easy to be common. When the pressure comes when you decide to be uncommon. When everyone else around you is compromising, but you rise up and you say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Your neighbors will tell you. Your neighbors will ask you, are you going to church again today? Are you going to church again? I mean, it's Sunday. It's a day off. Why would you always come and go to church on a Sunday? It's because you're uncommon, that's why.
Amen.
It's because you live by a high standard. It's because you honor God with your life.
Amen.
Let me tell you, uncommon obedience produces uncommon blessings, uncommon favor, and uncommon destiny. You go where you could never go in your own. But there's a pressure right now trying to squeeze you into being common. Thoughts trying to deceive you into not breaking out of the mold. Don't believe those lies. Be a Daniel. All that pressure trying to get you to conform, it's a sign that God has got something amazing in front of you. You've got to be like Daniel. You've got a purpose in your heart. I will not defile myself by giving in to this temptation. Or by letting these outside pressures convince me into lowering my standards. Let me tell you, the person in charge of Daniel was so impressed with Daniel that he took him to see the king. And listen to what the scripture says in Daniel 1 verse 18. It says, when the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so they entered the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enhancers in his entire kingdom. Daniel was 10 times as smart as any other of the king's advisors is in his entire kingdom. Why? Because Daniel was uncommon. It wasn't a coincidence. When you make this choice that you're going to be uncommon, let me tell you, God will shine his favor on you. I said God will shine his favor on you. God will cause you to stand out. You'll have a wisdom beyond your years. You'll have creativity, ideas, ability. Because God rewards the uncommon.
Amen.
Yes. Daniel 6 verse 3 says this. It says, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set in him over the entire realm. Are you kidding me? This teenager that was a slave, Now the king's thinking of putting him in charge of his entire kingdom. He went from being a slave to being the leader of an entire country. But I wonder what would have happened if Daniel would have chosen to be common. If he'd worshipped their idols. If he'd lived by their standards. If he'd been squeezed into their mold. I don't think we'd be talking about him today. You know, it would have been another ordinary life faded off into the sunset. Let me tell you, listen, years after you've gone, God wants someone to be reading about you, about your faith, about your courage, about your victories. You see, your victories and your faith can inspire others to believe for the fullness of their destiny. Well, Pastor Steve, I don't think so, you know, not with me. I mean, I don't have the experience. I don't have the influence. I don't have the training. I don't have the education. Listen, Daniel was a slave. Daniel was a teenager in a foreign land. All the odds were against him. But he made this decision to be uncommon, to stand out, to honor God with his life. And when you honor God, God will always honor you. God opened doors for Daniel that he didn't dream would open for him. Listen, you may not see it yet, but God has something amazing in front of you. God has destined you to leave your mark in this generation. You're not supposed to live and die and nobody knew you were here. God has opportunities. He has resources. He has people. He has wisdom set up in front of you. Then it's going to catapult you further than you ever thought possible. But there's one requirement. You can't be common. You've got to be willing to do what others are not willing to do. You've got to be willing to make sacrifices that others are not willing to make. You've got to be willing to resist temptation when others are giving in to temptation. But here's the good news. Nothing that you are facing is too much for you to handle. Every temptation, every struggle, every difficulty, God has given you the grace to overcome it. You've got the power to be uncommon. Yes, it takes discipline. Yes, sometimes it's uncomfortable. Your flesh will tell you, give in. Do what everybody else is doing. But your destiny is at stake. Don't let a temporary period of being uncomfortable keep you from a permanent blessing. It was easy for Daniel to go against the grain. I'm sure that there were people that made fun of him. I'm sure there were people who thought, look at this new guy, this teenager. I mean, he's strange, he's weird. He brought his own food. He worships his own God. I mean, you know, he's too good to hang out with us. Daniel could have given in to the pressure. He could have been intimidated. He could have not wanted to stand out. But he was willing to take the heat for being different. He was secure enough in who he was and confident enough in who his God was that he didn't let the opposition and the ridicule and the people trying to discredit him, he didn't let that squeeze him into their mold. He knew when you're uncommon, there will be seasons of difficulty when it's not fair, when it seems like others are getting the best of you. It seems like you're having to swim upstream, so to speak. But family, God sees what is happening and your time is coming. Like with Daniel, at some point, God will suddenly turn it around. He will suddenly promote you. He will suddenly vindicate you. Because let me tell you, when the people saw the favor of God that was on Daniel's life, they became jealous of him. This Hebrew slave that they'd been making fun of. All of a sudden, the king is putting him over in charge of the entire kingdom. And so, they've been trying to discredit him. Now he's their boss. Now he's over all of them. See, when you're being common, when you're being uncommon, and you're taking the high road, don't be distracted by the naysayers and people trying to discredit you. Because they may be making fun of you now, but you don't know, like with Daniel, one day they'll be working for you. Amen. These people knew Daniel wouldn't compromise. They knew how committed he was, how faithful he was. So they came up with a plan to try and trap him. In Daniel chapter 6, look what happened. It says the administrators and the high officers went to the king. And they said, long live Darius. You know, oh, how great you are, King Darius. We're all in agreement. We administrators, officials, and high officers, advisors, governors, we agree that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone divine or human except to you, your majesty, will be thrown in a den of lions. Now the king was so flattered. His ego was so inflated. He thought that's a good idea. Listen to me. Be careful when people flatter you. And then turn around and ask you for something. Oh, you're so wonderful. You're so beautiful. You're so amazing. Oh, wait, I better ask you for a favor. You see, even if what they're saying is true, most likely it's being said with the wrong motives if they turn around and immediately ask you for something. Do you know that flattery can be used as a tool against you? Do you know, don't study the word flattered in the Bible. It's amazing how many scriptures. Here's just one. I thought I'd give you Proverbs 29, verse 5. It says, flattery can often be used as a trap to hide ulterior motives and take advantage of you. See, if you're not secure in who you are, and you need flattery to feel good about yourself, you'll make decisions that later on you regret. The king loved Daniel. He didn't realize that they were doing this to try and trap him. But when Daniel heard about the new law, it didn't stop him at all. The Bible says in Daniel 6, verse 10, Daniel learned the law had been signed. He went home and he knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with the windows open wide toward Jerusalem. And he prayed 3 times a day, just as he'd always done, giving thanks to his God. When he found out there's a new law, and if anyone prays to any other God, he's going to be thrown in a den of lions. So Daniel goes home and he throws open his windows and he gets down on his knees and he prays like he always did. So what are you going to do when they tell you you can't pray? Breaking the law. We're going to do this, say the Lord of that, no more praying in the name of Jesus. What are you going to do? I'm keep on praying.
Yeah. Amen.
There's a high. So you see now, Daniel's in charge. And yet he's still not being squeezed into their mold. See, sometimes when people get to where they were trying to go, God blesses them, God opens doors for them, God promotes them. Sometimes they forget what got them there. It was the fact that they were uncommon. But too often when people reach a goal, then they stop becoming common. But Daniel didn't do this. He made it to the top, so to speak. He had everything to lose. If there was ever a time he should have, you know, compromised to fit in, this was the time. If there was ever a time he should have done what the king asked, it was now. But Daniel stayed on the island. Daniel didn't let the pressure cause him to compromise. They ran back. They told the king. Daniel was praying to another god. The king felt bad about it. And he was. The Bible says he was angry with himself. He realized they tricked him. He spent the entire day trying to find a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. But he couldn't go back on his word once he'd said it. So he had Daniel thrown into a lion's den. And the whole night, the Bible says, the king stayed awake and prayed and fasted for Daniel. And in verse 19, it says, very early the next morning, the king got up. He hurried out to the lion's den. And when he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel said, long live the king, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so they could not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in your sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was so overjoyed, he ordered that Daniel be lifted from the dead. Not a scratch was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Not a scratch was found on him, because he trusted in his God. It says, then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown in the lion's den, along with their wives and their children, and the lions leapt on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor. So So don't tell me that lions weren't hungry. No, God shut the mouth of the lion. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. He said, I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lion. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius, and he prospered during the reign of Cyrus the Persian. All these kings came and went, and God kept blessing Daniel. Because he was uncommon. When you're uncommon, when you refuse to compromise, when you don't take the easy way out, God will do the uncommon. He'll close the mouth of lions, family. Can you hang a little bit more today?
Yes.
A little bit more today?
Amen.
Let me tell you, when you study the heroes of faith, people like Daniel, you'll find one common ingredient. They were uncommon. There's a lady in scripture, her name was Naomi. She had two sons who both died early, and their wives were Ruth and Orpah. And Naomi was going to move back to her hometown of Bethlehem. And she told both her daughters-in-law that they should go back to their country and start a new life. But Ruth, her daughter-in-law Ruth, said, no, Naomi, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to go back with you. I'm going to help take care of you. And she said, no, Ruth, I'm an old lady. There's no future for you in Bethlehem. Go back to your own country. Maybe you'll find someone new to marry them. And so that's what Orpah did. She left. She went her own way. She did her own thing. But Ruth refused to leave. Ruth, in Ruth 1, verse 16, she said this. She replied, don't ask me to leave you and to turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. Now, it was in the fields of Bethlehem, picking up wheat every morning, barely surviving, that God caused a man named Boaz, who owned the fields, to notice Ruth. He was the wealthiest man in that area. They ended up falling in love, and they got married. Ruth no longer had to work in the field. Now she owned the field. What am I saying? I'm saying uncommon commitment brought uncommon favor. Ruth was willing to do what Orpah wouldn't do. Orpah took the easy way out. But Ruth did the right thing even when it was hard. She took care of someone when she had every right to walk away. Nothing against Orpah. She may have lived a good life, but you don't read anything more about her in the scriptures.
Right.
Listen, you don't read much about common people. Not only did God bless Ruth with a husband and with a son, but you know that Ruth went on to become the great-grandmother of David. God put her in the family line of Jesus. It wouldn't have happened if she was common. Are there areas that you're being common in, doing what everyone else is doing, taking the easy way out? Why don't you be a Ruth? Why don't you be a Daniel? God has uncommon favor in your future. Uncommon opportunities. Uncommon relationships. But you've got to do your part. You have to be uncommon. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were out helping people, ministering to people, where they were falsely accused of trying to start a riot. They hadn't committed any crime, but they were beaten with rods, and they were thrown into prison, into the dungeon. They could have been complaining, bitter, God, why did you let this happen? That would have been common, but they were uncommon. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, I love it, it says, Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God, while all the other prisoners listen to their worship. They weren't doing this. Oh, yeah. Can you hear me? Yeah. I think we should sing some praise. Okay. Let's go. Praise the Lord. Praise. Praise. Weren't doing none of that. They were, all the prisoners were listening. instead of complaining at midnight in the dungeon with their backs bleeding, they were singing praises unto God. The other prisoners could hear them. I imagine the other prisoners must have thought, what's wrong with these guys, man? They've been beaten. They've been falsely accused. Now they're in the dungeon. They're thanking and praising God. I mean, that's not normal. That's weird. That is strange. These people are peculiar. You're right, they are peculiar. And it says, suddenly, verse 26, suddenly there was a massive earthquake. The prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. How many of you know that's not a normal earthquake? Have you ever heard of an earthquake? All the prison doors flew open and all the chains fell off? I don't think so. That was God shook that prison as they were giving him praise. An uncommon attitude led to an uncommon breakthrough. Let me tell you, instead of complaining about the people that have done you wrong, being sour because of the disappointment, why don't you do like them and be uncommon? Oh God, instead of saying, God, I don't understand why this has happened, rather, Lord, I thank you. You're still on the throne. I thank you. You got beauty for these ashes. I thank you. That was meant, what was meant for my harm. You're turning it to my advantage, Lord. See, that's what brings uncommon turnarounds. That's what brings uncommon breakthroughs. That's what brings uncommon favor. That's what happened with David. David was a teenager. He was out taking care of his father's sheep. And I'm going to close with this. David didn't come from an influential family. His family were shepherds. Nobody saw anything special in David. David looked ordinary, like everybody else. But David made the decision that he's going to be uncommon. He was willing to do what others were not willing to do. Did you hear what I said? He's willing to do what others are not willing to do. Nobody had the courage to face Goliath. Everybody in the army thought Goliath is too big. He's too strong. The whole army was afraid. The whole army was intimidated. Even King Saul, who was a big man himself, he was head and shoulders taller than anyone else in Israel. Saul was probably close to 7 feet tall himself. He was huge. He wouldn't take on Goliath. But when David heard Goliath taunting the Israelites, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he dared to defy the armies of the living God? Doesn't he know God is on our side? When the others were shrinking back in fear, David rose up in faith. He told King Saul, I'll go fight Goliath. His brothers and everyone else in the army said to him, you're crazy, David. In fact, in 1 Samuel 17, it says, when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking like that, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway, he demanded. Carry on, next one. What about the sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know what a cocky brat you are. You just want to see the battle. I know what a cocky little rat you are. He walked over to some others and he asked them the same thing. And they told him the same thing. Who do you think you are? You can't take on David. And when it was finally, when it was finally realized what David meant, someone told King Saul and the king sent for him. And David said to the king, don't worry about a thing. I'm going to take care of this Philistine. Bless his heart. 17 years old. 17 teenager. Don't worry about a thing. I'm going to take care of him. Oh yeah. The king says to him, don't be ridiculous. How can a kid like you fight with a man like him? You are only a boy, and he's been in the army since he was a boy. Don't be ridiculous. You know, people will tell you, don't be ridiculous. Yes. See, they were common. They were trying to convince him into being common. When you go against the grain, when you take these steps of faith, don't be surprised if common people tell you that it's not going to happen. You're not going to get well. You're never going to break that addiction. You can't start your own business. You don't have the experience. You don't have the resources. Don't believe those lies. You've got something on you that they cannot see. There is a favor on you. There is a blessing on you. There is an anointing on you. There is an ability on you. It is not ordinary. Average people would be stuck. Ordinary people would be stuck. Common people would say the giant is too big, but you are uncommon. God breathed his life into you. God crowned you with favor, family, like David. I tell you, you're going to defeat giants that are much bigger. You're going to overcome obstacles that look much stronger. You're going to accomplish dreams that seem impossible because the forces that are for you are greater than the forces that are against you.
Amen.
I believe, listen, I'm not looking at average people. I'm not looking at common people. I believe I'm looking at David's. I'm looking at Ruth's. I'm looking at Daniel. I'm looking at history making. I see people who are going to leave their mark. People that are willing to do what others won't do. People that live by a higher standard. Let me tell you, God has not only chosen you, but God has set you apart. God has made you uncommon. I'm asking you today to do your part and to live uncommon. When others shrink back, have an uncommon face. When others slack off, have an uncommon commitment. When others take the easy way out, have an uncommon excellence. Because if you will do this, family, let me tell you, I believe that you're going to see uncommon favor. I believe you're going to see uncommon breakthroughs. I believe you're going to see uncommon increase. And I believe you're going to see uncommon victories in the name of Jesus. If you receive that, if you agree with that today, say amen.
If you want to be included in this prayer this morning,
I ask you quickly right now to just slip your hand up high, to just lift your hand up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Pam, will you talk and pray with Stephen today? Praise the Lord. All right. Praise God, everybody. Did you get something out of this morning?
Yes.
I love you. Go ahead.
That's so good. So good, right?
Yes.
Enjoyed it so much. Just those scriptures. I just love that. The examples of those who we read about. That's why we read about them. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. Well, this is the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give. And I always like to just encourage you and us with some scripture. And I'm going to read 8 verses. I read this in the Passion Translation this week, and I really love the way it said it. And I want to encourage you with it in your giving. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1, it says, Paul's writing to the church, and he says, actually, there's no need to write to you about the contribution for the holy believers in Jerusalem. He says there's no need, but he keeps writing, right? He says, for I already know that you are on board and you are eager to help. I keep boasting to the churches of Macedonia about your passion to give, telling them that the believers of Corinth have been preparing to give for a year. Your enthusiasm is contagious, and it has stirred many of them to give likewise. I love that, you know, because Pastor Steve, a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about, now there's so many stories of people that have given sacrificially, but he was teaching on the subject, and he brought up an account of somebody in our church, a gentleman that had given so sacrificially, a couple that have given sacrificially to the new building. And he was saying that this man had felt stirred to give, and then, you going to keep saying that? Okay. This couple had felt stirred to give, and they thought about how they could do that, and they had been saving up money for a new truck, and they decided that they were rather going to give that. And so he told that account because he said, you know, that was uncommon. Yeah. It was $25,000 that they gave, and it was uncommon. And when he said that, other people were stirred. Yeah. And they said to us, I was stirred by that story. Yes. Somebody came to us and said, you know, I was praying, and I felt the Lord say to me, give what's in your savings account. And she came to our house on the Monday morning and said, the Lord told me to give. I felt stirred by what was said, by somebody else's giving, and so she came and gave $6,000, and it was such a blessing, and the stuff we've been able to do. Then somebody else was stirred by that, and they felt led to sell a guitar they had that was valuable, and came and gave a check of $1,000. And so what he's saying in the scripture, he said, I don't even have to talk to you about this, because I can see that you're eager, and that you're on board, and you're willing. And that's what we see when we look around. We're so thankful that people are just so willing to give to the kingdom of God. Amen? We really do appreciate that. However, I just want to read, because Paul said, I don't have to write it. I know you're eager, but I want to read this part to encourage you as to what God does when you have that heart to give. He goes on in verse 6, he says, here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. You know, people might look at you and think you're crazy, and God thinks it's hilarious, right? And so, yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. Just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him, because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need, plus more, Then he multiplies the seed you sow, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. And lastly, you will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. For when we take your gifts to those in need, it causes many to give thanks to God. Isn't that powerful? He says, I just want to tell you that when you give from a heart that it's just joy and so happy to give. You just want to give. You're not giving because somebody's twisting your arm. You're not giving because somebody's got some kind of gimmick to get money out of you. You're giving because there's a joy that you find in giving. It says God on every occasion and every time is going to give you more than enough for what you need. Amen? And we truly believe that, right? And so we're really grateful. We thank you for your faithfulness in giving, your generosity, your extravagance. There's two envelopes that we give with. We give to the regular tithes and offerings to Christian Family Church. Keep things going as we close up around here. And then we're giving into the new building. I thank God in the last 2 weeks, people have been stirred to give. And we have enough to keep us going for a while. We've still got some to go. So just we're still trusting God for $50,000. We have no doubt he's been providing along the way. He's been supplying to you as your channels to give into the kingdom of God, and we're grateful for it. So we don't know how, we know it comes from him, to you, through you, and we thank you for being obedient to that. Amen. So as we prepare to give, let's just pray. Those watching online, you can just click and give right where you are in your homes. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that there's nothing that you ask us to do that doesn't contain an abundant blessing, way beyond the measure of what you ask us to do. So we thank you, Father, for we give with joyful hearts. We give that this will be remembered through eternity. We want to have make an eternal difference in this earth. So thank you, Father, as we sow, that you are our provider. We look to you as our source. You're the one who supplies our needs and more than enough that we can give into every good work. Thank you for your hand upon our lives, our provision. Our trust is in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So ushers, go ahead. Thank you for that. Pastor Steve.
Yes, praise God. We want to thank, I want to thank everyone who's given toward our new building. It really has been a miracle from the beginning up until now. It's been an absolute miracle. I mean that sincerely. From the time that we got the phone call, someone said, I've got a building I want to sell you, up until now, it's just been supernatural. And we are trusting God. We still do need about $50,000 to finish the building. But I have no doubt that the Lord is going to make a way. And thank you for those who have given. We've had people that have given, like Jill was saying, with one couple, $25,000, gave their savings, but they were saving for a truck. And but I tell you right now, if you've noticed those scriptures that Jill read about giving, did you notice so many of those scriptures talk about as you give, how that God will abundantly take care of you? And I want to tell you, when you make a sacrifice and you say, now I could have bought this truck, or I could have, I've got this guitar, I'm going to sell it and sow it into the kingdom of God. I want you to know, when you make that sacrifice, God sees it. And God promised. I never promised. God promised that he would abundantly bless you in return. And I believe God abundantly blessing you in return. I believe God is blessing your business, blessing your career. I believe God's bringing promotion for you. I believe God's bringing new clients for your business. God's opening doors for you. Let me tell you, one touch of God's favor can do what you... One touch of the favor of God can take you where you can never go on your own. Just one touch of God's favor. That's all it takes. Amen? And when you give to the kingdom, God sees it and it pleases him. He puts his favor on you, and all of a sudden things start happening that are just supernatural. And you're like, wow, what's this? It's the blessing of God coming on you. I'm expecting you to see blessings chasing after you. Are any of you expecting blessings chasing after you? Amen. 6 more weeks. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. We thank you, Lord, for providing us with this new building. We thank you, Father, for guiding and leading us. We thank you that you brought the right people to help us. You provided, Lord. We give you all the glory and the honor. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us and chosen us to live an uncommon life and to see uncommon things. Lord, as we go out of here today, I just thank you that your favor and your blessing rests upon each person. And I thank you, Father, that each one, as we determine that we are going to stand out from the crowd, we're not going to allow this world to squeeze us into its mold, but we are going to live by a higher standard. We're going to live by your word. We're going to live by your will and your plan for us, Lord. We're going to follow you. We're going to be set apart to you. And I thank you, Lord, for doing uncommon things. Uncommon blessing, uncommon favor, uncommon breakthroughs, uncommon victories. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen.
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 Won't you tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here this morning. Amen. Bless you. We love you, everybody. We'll see you next week. We'll see you next Sunday. Have an awesome week. A week full of sunshine. We'll see you next time.
I'm not going to be able to do that.